Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost podcast, the official music podcast of the website Surreal Resolution. I'm your host, Robert, and this is my last meal. It's literally just a burlap sack full of Red Lobster cheddar biscuits. And with me, I have...
Finally free out of the editing bay. So, what's going on in the world that I've missed?
And...
Yo, there's some guy named Grim at the door, seeking to pick up some guy named Mitch, but apparently his ride got delayed. He ended up picking somebody named Lindsay instead. They look passed out or drunk, or I don't know, maybe dead, I don't know. I mean, what do I tell?
I don't know.
Okay, you said he'd been trying to get somebody named Don for years, but he keep on talking at dodging them.
Clearly, he has experience doing that kind of dodging.
God, I'm just waiting for them to finally make the right choice. Well, okay, this is a right choice, but
it's more. It's a start. It's prep for the day.
Though for me, the real question is: so was Mitch doing some sort of equivalent exchange sort of thing? One last grasp of life in exchange for Lindsay.
Well, he looked kind of fucked up, like he's, I don't know, brain dead or some shit. Like he just got this empty stare at you, looking at your soul, or him needing a diaper change. Did I mention Mitch is kind of old?
Yeah. There may or may not be some Weekend at Bernie's shenanigans going on up in here. But this isn't a political podcast.
And it never will be.
Only by tangential relation does it have to be for, like, 5 minutes every month.
Yeah.
But, here we are. Episode 439. Obviously, you could tell things slowed down a bit on 4th of July weekend. But, other than that, we are here now. So, how's everyone, been getting along in the meantime?
By barely surviving, I guess you can say. I've not done much over the past week and a half. I just sort of slept through, you know, most of the shenanigans going on, and I did not really do much for, the holiday, because that's what I have my bumpkin-ass neighbors across the street for me to do. For just, oh god. And then I heard it again the next night.
Yikes.
21 years of this. It has not ended. I hate it. It's just been more of the same. More dealing with the heat. More of saying, no, I can't come in to work tomorrow. I'm at 40 hours. Anything else is forced overtime. We can't do that, so find someone else to work. And also, the editing bay, because as much as I like doing these shows, it can be very tiring having to painstakingly edit all the audio together to make it sound presentable without, you know, pauses or extra breathing or, you know, flubbed takes. Being up until, like, 2:30 in the morning, back-to-back days, because I had to do a 3-hour show. That was kind of strenuous, especially on the eyes. I wish y'all told me if somebody was going to die, like, at 3 o'clock in the morning. Like, I went to bed right before that news broke. I woke up and I went, oh, okay, back to work for me. As you can tell, I don't spend a whole lot of time on internet platforms anymore, because it's just not good for... It's just not good. It's just not good for you. Anything else? That's about all I got. I live a very dull life, if you can tell.
I think we all do, to some extent.
Yes.
Mark, what about you?
Let's see. Other than usual, where it's both either hot or wet. Because it's still there, because it either rains a lot, it gets hot a lot, then it rains a lot, then it's hot. raised in his head, it's a fucking cycle. And it's annoying. I'm the guy to have that has on two fans, one by the window and one to the right of me on low, because if I did on high, y'all would hear that shit. So yeah, there's that. Other than that, holiday, just the usual bullshit of like, you know, barbecue and all that shit, which I get to eat, so that's good. And drink. Got me a bottle of Kvasie, which, yeah, that's cognac.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And also, it also since it's the summer season, meaning, that thing I always do every other three months is looking at new anime, and there have been plenty of good shit. Honestly, this shit's all over the last two seasons. Like, I've got stuff that I actually like. One show I've been liking a lot, well, I've been liking from the start, is this one show called Grow Up Show or Sunflower, the Circus one. Yeah, you know the one. Yeah, that one. And the reason why I'm getting about that one is because, oh yeah, that's right, because you know me, I watched a dub of that show, and oh, looky, a familiar voice I heard on another show about a circus. Just a dude with teeth and big ass for a face.
Pomni!
But yeah, this season's been real good. Like, of course, there's that show. One show, Goodbye Lore, which I also like. The Ghost of the Shell stuff, which are like, oh, that's pretty good too. I'm like, oh! So the manga was like this the whole time, because ever since knowing about this move, well, the thing, what the franchise is like, it always wanted to be is this, you know, this very serious shit, but it's like, oh, it could be that, but it could still be, you know, very humorous. Like, ah. I mean, granted, the one part of a Ghost Show that always stuck with me a lot, mostly the TV series, is the music, but I can give it this. This season's been shaping me. Some stuff that I actually like it, not in the second. I hope I don't regret saying that a couple months later.
Eh, I'm sure it'll all be fine. I mean, for the time being, we only really have one obvious target of black hole suckness. Gohans.
Oh yeah, that show which I avoided because I'm like, you know what, it's too easy now. It's too easy now. You're too easy to pick on, all right? It's like, we get it, you know, everybody's like, oh, but the animation, it looks wonky and not that good. Just because it looks pretty doesn't mean it's gonna be animated that well.
Look, it might be an easy target, but it's bad and it should still feel bad.
The trend for the season is smoking. It's bad for your health, kids. Don't do it. Be careful when you're around people who do, because you never know. Yeah. What they're going to do, or what they're going to exhume out of their bodies.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Which I need to get on that other one soon. Like, the other one watching, like, you know, the smoking behind. Yeah, that show. Really good. Also, I'm glad I got a dub coming out soon.
Which, hey!
Also from Ocean, which I haven't heard from them in a while.
They are still around. They just don't do as much as they used to in their heyday. Because, yeah. Something involving Canadian content restrictions in Canada. It's a mess.
Yeah. Everything good this summer, especially next month. Considering, well, you already heard of news.
Well, we'll get to that soon enough. But yeah, kids. If you ever unironically paid money to watch any of the Jackass movies in theaters, do I have the anime series for you? Anyway, as for me. I mean, I didn't really do much on July 4th. It was kind of a quiet weekend in the house. I did go see my mom for lunch that day. We had Texas Roadhouse. So, as that one nice. Scott the Waz video says, rolls, baby! And, of course, my partner sent me a video the other day, and that's how I started finally binging Mythical Kitchen's Last Meal videos. You know, props to Corey Taylor for pointing out how movie theater, air quotes, nachos are a fucking lie. The real shit needs to stain your shirt for weeks on end. Nachos are a thing of beauty, people.
Yeah, I would also advise against the movie theater nachos because it's just a bunch of chips in a plastic bag and you have to pour your own condiments in. It's not real. It's not good and it's not good for you. Like smoking.
All coming together. But that'll about do it for the formalities as far as, you know, this is concerned. Now we move on to the usual business. Starting, of course, with the new music, new songs from the past, week and a half, 2 weeks or so. As always, there'll be a playlist down in the description, so you can follow along with us, mark your calendars for new albums, pick up some new tunes for your playlist, all that fun stuff. Now, I'm still putting the final touches on the monthly album roundup, so it'll probably still be out by, like, the time this episode's out, or, like, the day before. But the point is, in that episode, we brought up The Alchemist, who kind of made some very questionable decisions. I only bring that up because this track here, this first song we're starting off with, almost kind of feels like it's supposed to be a mea culpa in a way. Mark, would you like to explain?
So, yeah, so that was teamed up with, of course, with hip-hop legend DJ Premier, but they did it before, but now there's another track they did called No Explanation, which features Evidence. So, technically, this is a Step Brothers track.
Holy crap, did I manifest this into existence? I must only use these powers for chaotic means!
Yes. Okay, it goes in the song for itself. It's pretty solid. It's on a beat, and of course you got both Alchemist and Evidence doing bars, which... Okay. We got bars like, but let's keep it like Mario and Luigi. You need to put the microphone down and consider a squeegee. Okay. A squeegee, they dump me in the sauce like a waffle fry. All the rules, nothing I do is authorized. Alright. Okay. It was like, pull the mic, this person that came to me. It's going down. You be able to spin us. You want to keep pressing what? That's just beginners. I mean, I'm always into the chemist. He's the primo. I speak the evils through the screen. They cast the demons. The moves come out to ask for reasons. For the reason I ride for the cost, got people coming for applause. Which, okay, we got some good ass bars here. Like, okay, this is more like it. I don't know if it's leading anything, but it's like it's a good shit I'm hearing right here. This is another good Lucy from this and. I mean, gotta do hope for another. Gotta do well over these two to clap again. Just make their own album themselves. If you don't make an album themselves, get somebody to do the album work, or just pay somebody to do the album work, or don't cheap out. All right, shit.
Still, just make it a really tacky Photoshop, like back in the days of Big Bear doing things.
Yeah, just do that.
But moving on from that to the second track here. So as you all probably know by now, Open Mike Eagle is working on a collab album with Kenny Seagal for August 14th titled Doomed. Doomed! Well, okay, it's the one Doomed. It's not Doomed times two, but you know what I mean. Anyway, we have the second single from the album here called Watching a Movie Called Freedom by Myself, which is very highly specific. Anyway, so the beat here is very chilling in a sense. It's a lot of very minimalist chimes and pseudo keyboard sounds, and kind of what sounds like the drum track was sort of slowed down and possibly also reversed. Kind of has a, perhaps fitting of a lot of the black and white visuals, a bit of a sort of Twilight Zone vibe to things. It's very unnerving, you know, compared to the usual Open Mic Eagle production, and of course movie imagery is very heavy in the lyrics. The sense I get here is that it's kind of painting the image of perhaps isolation in, like, a relationship that's on the rocks and on its way out. Like, the chorus repeats the line, we can all just leave, you know, there's no post-credits, we can all just leave. And, you know, amongst other movie references and this feeling of being alone, it's very, like I said, numbing, because, like, the post-credits thing in particular. Like, you stick around in a movie for the post-credits because it usually implies the promise of something worthwhile in the future. Like, oh hey, sit through the post-credits of the next Spider-Man movie and you'll find out what's happening in the next Avengers movie. But if there's no post-credits, then there's nothing to promise. What are you doing sticking around? Just leave.
Yeah. Sometimes sticking in credits, like, you like at first, he should be the guy that wants to stay around end credits, but it's like, no, I should leave out of respect for the people in the theater, because you know I don't want to keep them crowded. Like, I'll probably watch the end credits when I was thinking home. But yeah, but this song in particular, like, yeah, it's very haunting, very like kind of chilling in a way. It's like you kind of feel that chill, you kind of get that chill, where that very cold chill listening to this song. Like, okay. Like, from the imagery, the whole thing where it's like, well, this shit look like in the video, he's like, he calling some shit like, you know, like, him and breakfast, there's a lot of bread, and there's a fucking rake, he has a rake for a hair, what the fuck's going on? Very unnerving and very, like, okay, there's some weird but creative shit going on right here.
You know, the funny thing about that is, I think my roommate actually has, like, a Bluetooth speaker that looks like that exact model of radio. This is the roommate that's really, really into Has-Been Hotel. Her favorite character is the freaky red guy that everyone likes.
Hmm.
Well, I lie. It's the silly duck guy, but the freaky red guy's a close second.
Yeah, I see that.
Anyway, moving from the realm of hip-hop to very, very harsh, unpleasant metal, we have the latest single here from Chatpile, courtesy of their upcoming September 4th release, Who Loves the Sun? I can answer that question right now. It's definitely not me.
The sun is evil.
The actual temperature is hovering around the high 80s, low 90s, but the real feel is always in the triple digits.
Right now the sun's saying, fuck you, feel my heat. They feel my heat in my balls. Balls sweat.
Ugh. Anyway, getting back on topic here, so the latest single from Chatpile has the very, very strange title, Pen I.S. Mall, which I'm pretty sure is definitely not a penis joke. Anyway, this is a very, very kind of a straightforwardly nasty and visceral song, you know, amongst the ranks of their discography so far. The vocals are very, very growly and shouty. The song repeatedly vamps on this chugging groove through most of it, only kind of really switching things up to kind of this more droning halftime feel for the last couple of minutes. And the best way I can describe the lyrics is, it's sort of like a less quirky version of Primus's My Name is Mud. Mainly the lyrics paint this image of a man named Greg who presumably does a lot of this thankless, physical, intense labor inside of a mall, and who is so, you know, desperate to ascend the whatever sort of pithy corporate ladder he's stuck in, that he frequently rats out his buddy Ray to their boss, even though they're both living under the same boot, and Greg frequently takes time to jack off under the stairs. Don't look at me, that's just what they say, that's just what Reagan Bush says in the song, I don't know what you want from me.
Okay.
But, yeah, as the resident Chatpile mega fan in this podcast, you probably won't be surprised to learn, I dig this one a lot more than the previous single. This just kind of speaks to further to kind of, you know, the Chatpile vibe of the existential wide-awake nightmare that is trying to survive in Middle America.
Well, I cannot see this title without thinking of the old Sean Connery Celebrity Jeopardy bit from SNL from, like, 25 years ago. I'll take penis small for 200. That's pen is small. That's not what your mother said last night, Trebek. there are good SNL bits in the world. You just gotta look for them. Anyway, I dub this industrial warehouse backrooms metal. It's as heavy as it is mentally horrifying to conjure and imagine.
Backrooms, you say? Somebody needs to get these guys in a room with Kane Parsons. For reasons. Anyway, moving on to the next track here. So, a little bit of just personal venting on my end. So a while back we had mentioned that Metal Injection and Metal Sucks are very, very much stripping back a lot of their operations, which kind of sucks on my end because it kind of narrows the sources of where I can get news about what's happening in the metal world. Like, I don't know, some are more reliable than others. Usually Metal Injection and Metal Sucks had more consistency, but that kind of leaves me sometimes scrambling to see where I can get some good hard rock and metal news. I'm still trying to feel out, like, you know, alternate options. I mean, there's places like the PRP, there's, I guess, Loudwire, maybe Blabbermouth on occasion. Or, I guess, technically in this case, well, okay, technically the link here is from the PRP, but I would like to point out, this is the rare moment where my TikTok algorithm feed came in clutch, because if it didn't, I would not have learned that we are getting a new album this year from a band that Alex had introduced us to last year called Ladrones. Alex, would you care to explain what is going on here?
Sure. Now, first, I have to say, finding out through this piece that Jose Mangan from SiriusXM is their co-manager suddenly makes a lot more sense as to why I hear them on Liquid Metal so often.
Yeah, I had to double take at that name.
Yeah, I'm not saying that as a bad thing. I'm saying, yeah, okay, that kind of makes a lot more sense. It's all coming together now. Anyway, these folks have themselves a new album coming out on August 28th, Arriba la El. I hope I said that right. My Spanish is not great. And they have since signed to Rise Records. So, hey, look at that. Moving on up in the world. And we have this title track here. It's very much more of what they've been building to. There's more, quote-unquote, new metal revivalist vibes on here. You got low-tuned guitars, tight ringing snare drums, rap vocals, and trap beats as well, steering away from the sort of Jalisco style music from, you know, where they're from, you know, where they're from in Mexico. It's a more, I guess you could say, more of a contemporary sound. I didn't hate it. It all came together for a pretty good track that, at least for the video's sake, shows a good jamming pit party vibe going around.
Yeah, I'm curious about this one because from what I was seeing on like their Wikipedia page, apparently this is like their third album in like 3 years. It's like 2024 we had one, 2025, now we have 2026. So definitely not a band to stay quiet for too long, but yeah, I dig this. Let me say the Diego Zamoza, the drummer, is definitely working some fire on the kit. Great energy, tight grooves, plenty of cool moments like those ride hits that come in certain parts of the groove. Also, something about that guitar tone they're working with, it just really scratches a nice spot in the brain when you're listening to it. Well, let's see if third time's also the charm. Now, moving on to the next track here, looks like we got a new Rico Nasty album dropping this month. It's scheduled for July 24th, titled RX. You know, like RX prescriptions, all that kind of thing. And the new single here is called Cupcake. And at a glance, I almost feel like this one's sort of trying to be like a summer jam in a sense. Like, it's not quite as saturated hyperpop as something like iPhone, but it's got a lot of fluttering synth patterns that are definitely meant to be very bright and a bit cheerier than usual. But it definitely has a lot of the hard, you know, braggadocious bars. You know, you ain't shit, she's basically everything and you're nothing. You know, bars such as, she don't got fans, she just got bots. My palms is itching, you pick at your crotch. Peel your potato, turn you to a tot. And making no moves, you wake up and rot. Bitch keep on biting, I Michael Vick her. I name my price, I ain't talking Fisher. Admittingly, some of these lines could use some work. Like, look, love Rico, but I'm not, like, even the most hardened gangster rappers couldn't make a Fisher Price reference sound badass. I'm sorry, I just feel like that's an impossible task. But, you know, otherwise there's a pretty solid bars and such in here.
Yeah, you feel so all around. Like, you know, you got the, basically, you know, you basically got, you got the right, you know, the right hyper-pop flavor of Rico, which, okay, she's very like, adocious. She talks her shit. beat slamming courtesy of one. Whoa, Kenneth!
Ah, yes, the esteemed Mr. Kenneth Bloom.
We won't let this go.
Never!
But yeah, it's been a good track. I dig a bit. Now, remember when I said that this is hyperpop Rico? Well, look to your left. Well, look to your left.
Oh, hey, look, it's the giant news dump of information from the past week or so of anime stuff happening. Because, you know, there was the whole Anime Expo thing, all kinds of fun announcements coming out of there, including the very exciting news of Cyberpunk Edgerunners 2 coming this fall, which basically means every other anime could just give up on the spot, because let's be real, can you even really compete? You all saw Cyberpunk Edgerunners, right? But I suppose we should be more formal and professional about this, so yes, as you can tell from the segue, Rico Nasty is apparently on the soundtrack for the upcoming Cyberpunk Edgerunners anime. I don't know if this is the opening theme. I forgot to take notes on if that's something they announced.
It is not. It is not. I believe the opening theme is going to be... Hang on. Let me just pull up the thing real quick here. Yeah, the theme song is going to be 10:15 Saturday Night by The Cure.
Huh. Interesting.
Okay.
But anyway, we do have a Rico Nasty soundtrack piece here called You Can't Run From Me. And when I tell you that this is, you know, the more harder-edged Rico, I mean the harder-edged Rico. She just came in with an entire sack of dynamite and sounds hard enough to leave dents in the concrete. Like, I almost feel like she heard that Not Loose Denzel Curry collab earlier in the year and just went, bet. Because were you prepared for Rico to be dropping bars over, like, basically Slipknot? Like, riffs and drums? Because that's what's happening here. Like, we're getting some real D2 gnarly-ass fucking drop B, possibly even drop A guitar syncopations and just blowing out the mix, the drums pummeling harder than anything you've ever heard in your life, just stupidly heavy, along with some occasional, like, synthetic nu metal-ish stuff, sort of like Korn, and even the big soaring choruses that kind of, you know, at times sort of sound like a heavier Evanescence. Yeah, this absolutely, like, everyone else could just go home, right? But, like, how is anything else supposed to compete here? How is any other anime soundtrack supposed to compete?
Yeah, this is this is gonna be a banger. Like, this is the song you play. We just want to you know, wreck shit up. This is a song to do the wreck shit.
Yeah. Gotta say, I was not expecting this to go as hard and as industrial nu metal as it did. It all works really well, so, you know, points for that. You win this round, Netflix. You have this and Steel Ball Run in the fall. Yeah. I'm keeping my eye on you, though.
Yeah, well, you see how Cyberpunk Edgerunners 2 will hold up, and I know in the end it's going to be mostly tragic.
That kid most definitely films snuff movies.
I am prepared for the pain. Who am I kidding? No, I'm not.
Would we expect anything else?
Anyway, moving on from that to the next couple of tracks here. Oh, hey, look at that. We got a couple of Bonobo tracks here from the upcoming album Distance and Static, due out September 11th. I have no comments about that release date. So, Mark, you want to fill us in on these new songs?
All right, first track we got here is called Fire on the Water, featuring... I cannot say his fucking their fucking name.
Arujatab?
Arujatab! Yeah, okay. Arujatab. And the first we got is... This is one of the slower track we got here, like with vocals from the roots. I thought, okay, it does feel, you know, very slow. And the singing is quite nice. I feel like, oh, okay, like it seems almost kind of, I want to say heavenly, but it's like, It does sound good. I'll say that It does get that acoustic thing going on with the guitar. It's like, I can sense that. Like I said, From the Water sounds right, you know, hazy. Sounds nice. Now, Drift is more something that you do expect from Bonobo. Like, and this got the very, you know, very instrument, like, very, like, the Chinese move, like, something that you would hear in clubs a lot, like, that sounds like for the money for them, like, okay, like, it's, like, if I choose which track I kind of like the most of them, like, say Fire and Water doesn't bore me than Drift, like, Drift is good, like, it does feel like stuff like you that nobody hear from, you know, from X like him, but it's like, okay. But this is kind of good too. Like, I do like the beat builds up more as it goes by, which, I mean, as normally do. But this one's a, you know, decent tracks. But, you know,
Yeah, these are pretty solid. I kind of lean more in, Drift's flavor, mostly because it has the more dynamic composition, the kind of choppier feel and everything, but they're both pretty solid. Now moving on to the next track here. So, as we've learned recently, there is a brand new Anthrax album dropping September 18th, titled Cursum Perficio. There's probably some kind of theme or message to that title, but where was I going with this? Anyway, yeah, new Anthrax album. We have the second single here, The Edge of Perfection, and the first couple minutes of this open up kinda weird. At least relative to the usual Anthrax that I'm familiar with. This intro has more of like a Swedish melodic death metal thing going on. Like the drums are just kind of consistently blasting, or playing some kind of a kick-driven like 6-8 sort of groove. The guitars are tremoloing a lot with this more ominous gothic melody to the leads. And this motif sort of carries through the choruses, but the verses kind of have more of like that more thrashy, somewhat hammer-on pull-off 6-8 guitar grooves that at times sound... Well, okay, there's this one bit that I kind of thought was really silly sounding, where they're kind of punctuating the groove with this weird, like, pick scrape thing. It just sounds really funny, like, ding, ding, ding. But that's just my opinion, of course, and... I mean, as a whole, the song is, I actually kind of like it a little bit better than the previous single, just because, like, songwriting-wise, there's a bit more complex and satisfying stuff going on. Especially that really cool drum fill during the bridge, where it's kind of like, you know, continuing that groove, but alternating between toms and kicks and all that sort of stuff while, you know, ramping into the solos and such. But, yeah, it's pretty solid. Save for that really silly ding, ding. Like, you'll listen to the track, you will not be able to think about anything else. That's just my opinion.
Ugh. Well, first off, for Scott Ian to say this is the best song they've ever written might be just a bit hyperbolic in the company of songs like In My World, Madhouse, Only, and Ifl Nikafussin. That's the one, yeah. That's the funny ballad with the funny ending. But I will say that this is among some of the better tracks they've done, especially recently. It's got the length and the bombast of a more anthemic song, and at the very least, the arrangement delivers on that front. This is a big step up from It's For The Kids, so I'll take that for, you know, what it is.
Cool. Now, moving on to the next track here. Oh my fucking god, finally! Guys, we're finally getting a new King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard album this year. It's been 3,000 centuries. It's beautiful, man. I've been waiting to hear this news all year. Anyway, moving out of exaggerated excitement for a bit. So yes, King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard have scheduled a new album for August. No specific date that I saw, just August this year. It is called Alien Metal. Which is, of course, a very interesting title. What, do you think this is following in the vein of stuff like Infest the Rat's Nest or Petrodragonic Apocalypse, perhaps continuing the sort of sci-fi, dirty sludge metal motif? Well, this new album leans fully in the direction of techno music.
Okay.
Oh, Stuart McKenzie. You and your friends are very strange. But, yeah, so we have the lead-off single here from this new album called Level 5. As in, Level 5 in a PlayStation 1 or 2 era video game? Actually, I don't know what they mean by Level 5, but, yeah, this is, definitely leaning as full-on into a kind of late 90s, early 2000s, you know, underground dance club vibes as you can get. Like, very, you know, techno melodies, a lot of warbled synthy vocals. The percussion is basically the kind of a high energy, you know, driving feel you hear in like drum and bass or jungle, or like your average song from the Prodigy, just kind of dragging out for 6 minutes into a kind of ominous sci-fi soundscape, complete with a video where, weird alien sci-fi things happened. Do not ask me to make sense of it. All I'm doing is listening to the song, and, you know, it's definitely a very interesting composition, and, you know, it's kind of a pop. I'm, curious how this pans out into a full album.
So, this album was based off of an hour-long synth jam, they say. Yeah, I can hear that in here. There's just full-on breakcore drums and low wobbly analog synths all over on this one. And if you think this is going to get me to finally start a King Gizzard deep dive, yeah, that's not happening. I'm going to sit that one out. Again, this band is just a bit too outside for me to really dive into, and an album of this, I'll respectfully pass.
Don't worry, boys, we'll get them one day. But, moving on from that to our final song here, literally the most recent edition. Remember, I said it was up late last night, and, just by sheer coincidence, this happened to, cross my, recommendations and purview, so, we're all still kind of reeling from the recent events surrounding the changes in the Mastodon lineup, the passing of Brett Hines, and they dropped a new video. It was like a half-hour video that I did not get around to watching, but they literally called it, like, Addressing the Mastodon in the Room, which presumably means they dive very heavily into their complicated feelings about their fallen bandmate. But, in addition to that, we now have the word of what the band's first new album without him will be. It is coming out August 28th, and it is titled Marrow Deep. And so, to go along with that announcement, we have a brand new single from the group called Snakes for Dinner. Aw, man, I wanted the scorpions! Oh, okay, I'll deal with the snakes. As long as I can slather them in garlic butter. So, yeah, this new single here is, it's the kind of barn burner that I keep yearning for from a lot of the current era of the band. Like, yeah, obviously I get they're getting up there in years and maybe can't always keep up the energy like that, but you know, it's always fun to me when I get a track like this. The verses keep things very driving and energetic with a lot of those characteristically angular riffs and the very equally sort of jittery drumming momentum. The vocal dynamics are about what you would expect. You know, Troy does his thing on the verses with a lot of that bouncing back and forth between high-pitched psychedelic wails and that more sort of bellowing mid-range gruffness. And of course, the melodies are carried by Bron Daler doing his more melodious singing with, you know, plenty of proggy psychedelic synths in the mix as well. It's all very energetic and driving. Like, the chemistry sounds pretty on point, as, you know, you'd want out of their best material. Some really nice beefy chugging riffs towards the end, especially, you know, as the song leads more into this sort of 6-8 measure, which is where we get a special guest, Josh Homme from Queens of the Stone Age. I believe this would only be the second time he's ever featured on an album. You know, first since, 20 fucking years ago. The Mountain was 2006, right? I want to say it was. Swear to God,
Blood Mountain was indeed 2006.
Ah, yeah. A simpler time. But, yeah, Josh Homme here, he's more towards the end, and I feel like his vocal presence could be a bit more pronounced in the mix, especially for how heavy and grooving this particular part of the song is, but yeah, this really hits for me. Honestly, at times it kind of reminds me of, like, The Hunter, which I realize that's, for a lot of people, that's the contentious turning point in Mastodon's discography, but I will throw down for that album in a Denny's parking lot. And this is a pretty damn good song.
Yeah, I'm just going to read the chorus here. When you left, you took the moon and stars, buried them deep underneath the ocean. When you left, you took our hearts and minds, all that I could find amongst the grime were memories. So this album is going to hurt. Got it. I will be there for it.
Yeah. I was trying not to think about that. But I know I'm going to have to anyways. Tries not to cry. But yeah, that'll about do it for that and the news song discussions. We only really have one news topic, you know, to throw down on the table here. And of course, it once again surrounds the unfortunately still here scourge of generative AI bullshit. Yen? Any moment now? But what's exactly going on here? What's the latest knife in the back for this extremely, extremely stupid, disreputable technology? Well, we all know that Apple Music was introducing tags to clearly label and delineate AI-generated music from, you know, actual music. And now we got the latest from another streaming service, Tidal. Apparently, they have announced a new policy going into effect literally the day you're hearing this particular episode, July 15th, and it applies to their independent artist franchise, Tidal Upload. It's a new policy that says artists uploading music wholly or substantially created with AI will have them labeled as such, but more importantly, those songs will not be eligible for any sort of royalties whatsoever. They're also going to ban, you know, AI-generated music associated with, quote, fraudulent activity, a category that includes songs impersonating established artists and efforts to, quote, deceive listeners. Because that has unfortunately been a thing where, you know, certain AI-generated projects have been trying to, crib very heavily from the aesthetics and iconography of other known artists. I think there was something like this that happened in the metalcore space a while back, some act called, I think it was like Broken Arrow or something, was trying to, like, you know, pass themselves off as, like, fucking Converge wannabes, and it's like, nah, we can just listen to the real Converge. But, as for the actual wording of the, you know, policy, it says, well, okay, I'm not really fond of this particular quote, artists should have the freedom to create with AI tools, and listeners should have the autonomy to choose the type of content they consume. Should they have that freedom, though? Should they? Really? Sorry. But going further, due to the problems associated with the influx of AI-generated content, we will hold AI-generated content to a higher standard of content integrity. So, I mean, okay, ideally speaking, I would more prefer it if they just outright slammed the ban hammer down as hard as possible, but maybe there's something here in terms of, like, if you do, you know, try to make money off it, and you absolutely can fucking not, then that might defeat the purpose of trying to generate any of this bullshit on their, you know, fucking platform in the first place. You think that might actually be the thing that gets these fuckers to learn?
It's a start, I guess. On the other side, though, I did not spend my childhood dicking around in Microsoft Paint and Kid Pics just to have all these people come in and say, no, this is way easier. Fuck your slop and everything it came from.
Yeah. Remember, just remember, anybody working with any sort of cheap software, maybe you're just trying to string together a bad song in Audacity, maybe you're just using Microsoft Paint, maybe you're, I don't know, recording things with carrier pigeons and tin cans. You're still more of an artist than anybody using the fucking bullshit slot machine. But again, maybe this will actually pan out to something. We'll take what we can get. And again, maybe the loss of money will finally be the thing that, because that seems to be the only thing that's getting these people to maybe open their eyes. Because we're already seeing it with, like, you know, the fucking attempts to go public on the stock exchange. Probably not ever gonna happen because, this thing is fucking pissing, burning, and shitting away money. So, maybe this will help people learn.
Make them learn.
But, that'll about do it for that. And, of course, that now leaves, one last bit of business here. And that is, the new album releases for the week of July 17th, 2026. Starting at the top, we apparently have a new project from Motionless and White called Decades. We have a new EP from Haken called In a Fever Dream. From the band Loathe, we finally have their newest album, A Stranger to You. From Protest the Hero, we have their new album, Within. From the band Quicksand, we have Bring on the Psychics. From the Menzingers, we have Everything I Ever Saw. Oh, yay! There's a new Aaron Lewis album. It's called Give Me My Country Back.
Give me my country back. Fuck up.
Go back home to Massachusetts already. God damn it. That's where he's from. Massachusetts.
Oh, God. I actually want to move to Massachusetts at some point. Well, as long as I don't run into him anywhere, I'm sure things will be fine.
You definitely won't.
Yeah, I mean, he just stays inside all day watching TV and screaming at it.
At the TV!
Anyway, as for actual good music made by a quality artist, we have a new Steve Lacy album coming out this Friday. Oh yeah, finally. Speaking of Steve Lacy, there's the new album from Sid with Beer. And last,
and certainly
and
least,
why are we even still doing this in 2026? DJ Khaled!
With a new,
he's back for some reason!
With a new album, Alarm of God.
Okay, now, whoop, to me, oh, time to get my gun. And this axe.
AKA, in which he once again proves himself as the one guy in the group project that does absolutely nothing, but still gets to put his name on the thing anyway.
Yeah, but now I wonder, with most of his artists he worked with, they ain't exactly working together anymore, or as tight as they were back then, how will he fare? And now I want to see how this train wreck, how this be a train wreck. It's going to be a train wreck.
We will have to wait and see. Do I make myself listen to this one?
A train wreck of the not good variety.
Do I make myself listen to this one? That's a mystery for later.
Just don't.
Look, everyone listening by this point already knows I made myself listen to the Lizzo album, okay? I don't make smart decisions. But, again, that's question marks in the air. So now it's time to clean house and get the hell out of here. Alex, as always, you know where to find him. His ads and stuff are in the description. Mark, what about you?
So you can find me on Blue Sky, Mantana Media, and on my site, my HypeOne.wordpress.com. As you know, time of the season, anime stuff, all first impression, I think I lost count. This is how anime to come the season. Good ones, though, but yeah, it's a lot.
Oh, anime. Anyway, as for me, you can find me on, Blue Sky, Instagram, etc. at Rob Barracuda. You can email me, robert@sewerresolution.com for questions, comments, concerns, and inquiries. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts. New audio-only episodes go up every Wednesday. Be sure to follow the website on bluesky@surrealresolution.bluesky.social. Of course, the website itself, surrealresolution.com, for written articles, this podcast, podcast O&A, all of that good stuff. Of course, you'll find the link to the Discord server as well, so you can always be immediately notified whenever anything goes up on the site, and chat about all sorts of miscellaneous topics and things and such. Anyway, that'll about do it for this week. We'll hopefully be back next week with more of the usual weekly business. And until then, I got Rickrolled during the Splatfest this past weekend. This is bullshit.